So last night, I got to tell this, last night, this is part of it, this is where we're going, I had a dream. I told Earl this morning, I said, you're going to want to roll your eyes, because he's heard my dreams before. I didn't tell him about this dream yet, because I knew I was saving it for tonight, but so last night I had this dream, and you know how dreams are, they're always kind of weird. I won't give you all the details, but there was something, which really probably surprises you that I'm not going to give all the details, but I had this dream that I had something going on, and it was kind of a mess. You know how you just get yourself in a predicament, and it's just a mess, and you think, oh, I got to fix this. And so I was trying different things to fix this problem, and every time I would try to fix the problem, it would fail. You know, the way that I was trying to do it was failing. And I wouldn't just fail and I'd still be in my mess. My mess was growing at the same time. It was something that just kept like multiplying. And so every time I would try again, okay, well, that didn't work, so let's try this. I just, you know how you're just throwing things against the wall to see what sticks. And that's kind of what was happening. But every time it would fail, and it failed every single time, it just kept multiplying. So the problem didn't just, it was growing bigger and bigger. You know, have you ever seen The Blob, the movie The Blob? Did you ever see that? It's a horrible 1970s horror film. It was in the 70s probably? Maybe late 60s, I don't know. And it used to scare me when I was a child. So now to watch it is so stinking cheesy. But basically, this blob started out really small, right? A meteor had landed or something, and they went and kind of like stuck it with a stick, and they're looking at it, and they're trying to figure out what it is, and it comes down over the guy's arm, and it basically eats the whole guy. Well, this thing just keeps going and eating. And as it keeps going and eating, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? So this blob just grows. And that's kind of what was happening. This mess was just growing. It was multiplying. And so I was frustrated, and I was aggravated, and have you ever dreamed like that, and then you wake up, and then you're just so aggravated because of this frustration, I woke up in that kind of place, and I was just like, man, my first thought was, why didn't I just ask God to do it, you know, and it was so weird, because I thought, I should have, even in my dream, I should have known to do that, you know, I should, because I was just throwing things at it, trying to fix the problem on my own. I wasn't relying on anyone else or asking anyone else or doing anything else. I just kept, and I remember most of the time the solution was exactly the same as what I had just done, but I was tweaking it just a little bit. So you know how you're like, okay, well, that didn't work, so let me just try it this way. I'll just change this one thing and we'll see if that does it. So I changed that one thing, but then like I said, it just multiplied. And so the mess that I had was just now doubled and then tripled and quadrupled. And it just continued to do that. And pretty soon I'm overrun and I'm overwhelmed and I'm frustrated and I'm aggravated and I'm just mad. And then I woke up and I thought, why didn't I just ask God for the solution? And I wanted to go back to sleep and apply that. And I'd love to tell you that I did, but it was a dream. So no, that's not how dreams work. And usually what happens is you go back to sleep and then you get something really convoluted because you're adding all kinds of things in there, you know, on your own. I don't think I did that. I don't remember what I dreamed after that. I dreamed a lot. Last night was one of those nights I did a lot of tossing and turning, but that dream stuck with me. And this morning I was thinking about it again, and I remembered how frustrated I was in the dream. And I just thought, why do we allow ourselves? Because the truth is that we do that all the time in reality. While that was a dream, and the circumstances in the dream were crazy, you know, what was multiplying and what was happening was just kind of bizarre stuff. But the truth is that that stuff happens in real life. Maybe not those weird things, but things happen where they just multiply. Every time we try to correct a problem that we think we can do in our own power, it ends up and causes bigger issues. More and more problems. And the thing of it is that he has told us, God has told us how to handle all of this. We never have to do that. We never have to get into a place where we're frustrated. We never have to get into a place where we're just, you know, just beyond aggravated. I mean, that word, my mom used to say that. I'm just so aggravated. And she would say that all the time. And so that's kind of my first thought is that aggravation, you know. And so I think that we get so accustomed to living in a way that we try to fix our own problems, maybe because we got ourselves in there, right? And so we think, well, that's the only way to get ourselves out. We just got to get out all, you know, just solve this on our own. That we never go to God until we're at that point of absolute frustration, until we're finally fed up, right? And so, but that was what was so funny, because I've gotten to where I'm trying to reprogram myself not to be that way. And so then even in the dream, I'm like, well, why didn't I just ask God to fix it in the first place? Because that's what I would hope to do today. But then I don't know if you saw on Facebook the other day, I posted a little video. Did you watch it? Oh, good. I'm glad you didn't, because now I can share the story like it was brand new. So recently, I was dealing with these breakouts on my chin. We talked about, not my chin, but on my face. Did I tell you the whole thing? I probably did. But anyway, my whole face was just breaking out, and it was happening. How many times would I, like in the evening, would go to bed, and I'd say, look at my face, and there'd be bumps all over it, you know? And it would be kind of itching and kind of not. It wasn't really hives, and it wasn't acne, and it was going away during the day, you know? And when I'd wake up the next morning, it'd be all gone. And I thought, what is this going on? And but then, you know, later in the day, it'd be back again, and it'd be there. I tried to cover it with makeup, and that really wasn't, you know, solving the problem. I could get by with it, but it wasn't fixing it. So I thought, okay, well, what have I done? Well, I changed cleansers. You know, we went on this diet earlier this year, and so I changed cleansers at that time. I had changed makeup at that time. Everything that I had used in the past, I had changed. And so I'm thinking, is it one of these? You know, what's doing this? And so I changed cleansers because I didn't really like the new cleanser anyway, so that was an easy fix. Still didn't change it. Still had the issue. Then I changed moisturizers. So we'd been using those little pump ones. I quit using it all together and switched back to my old one because I still had some. I thought, I'm just going to use that. Didn't help. I didn't change my makeup because makeup is expensive sometimes, and I'm just like, forget it. I'm not going back to that. I'm just going to deal with it. Not one time did I ask the Lord to tell me what was wrong. I just kept trying to fix it on my own. And so then I'm standing in the mirror one day, and I'm putting my makeup on, and I'm putting on the powder. I wear that Bare Minerals, so I use the brush. And I've got a real high dollar brush, and I mean that sincerely. Before Earl and I got married, you know, I remember, because I was actually at a salon that I'd gotten a gift certificate for our wedding. So that's how I know it was at that time. And I bought with that gift certificate a brush, a good quality face brush. And so I'm putting this makeup on, and all of a sudden I hear the Lord say, clean your brush. And I thought, oh, it's the brush, because I haven't cleaned it in 9 years. So I know you're laughing because you think, well, surely to goodness, that would have been something that you would have immediately thought of. Did you watch this video? No, my gosh. You guys don't follow me at all. So anyway, the point is that while I'm standing there and I realize, duh, all right, good thing I've got a brand new bottle of cleanser right here. I'll go and clean these. And so, but the thing was, is that if I had been listening sooner, God had already told me to clean the brushes, otherwise I wouldn't have bought cleaner. I mean, because that had only been a couple weeks before that, because I was really debating on buying a whole new brush. I thought, well, I've changed everything else, maybe I need new brushes. And then I thought, nah, I'm not, that brush was really expensive, it's a really nice one, maybe I'll just try cleaning it. And so I bought the cleaner, but then I didn't do it. And like 2 months goes by, and I'm still trying to figure out why I've got these breakouts. I didn't clean the brush. He tried to tell me once, right? And I just didn't listen. But at any rate, my point is that I didn't even go to him in the first place, because he would have just told me right away. And I would have heard him, because I had asked him specifically. I know I would have heard him. But instead, he's been trying to tell me, psst, buy the cleaner because you need to clean your brushes. You know, I mean, this is what he was doing, and I was ignoring him. Now, I did clean the brushes, and guess what? It is all gone. I don't have any bumps, not at all. I just almost immediately quit breaking out. Okay, so, and the video actually goes on to say that the bottle of wash, the face wash, or the brush wash that I was looking at, it says to do it weekly. I went 9 years before I had a problem. I can go a while. So anyway, I'm not committing to weekly. But you can guarantee I'll start there next time, if that happens again. But my point is, though, is that he is always trying to help us and give us wisdom, even when we're not asking for it. And so often, we get into these things where I'm sitting here trying to figure it out myself. I'm switching cleansers back. I'm doing all these other things. And all I had to do was ask him. Because if you have this notebook right here, What's it say on the front? If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for every day, joy will be. Can you imagine the joy that would have broke through had I just asked him what was causing my face break out? Wouldn't that have been fun? But I didn't know because I didn't. Joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I'll say. And then it goes on, for the fountain of life pours into you every time that you find me. And this is the secret of growing in the delight and the favor of the Lord. It delights him when we ask him for things. He loves it when we come to him and say, Lord, help me with this. Lord, I just don't know what to do right here. Can you show me? Whatever it is. And instead of, you know, here's the thing. Listen, you know, people are making huge, life-altering decisions without asking the Lord. And I know that because we've done it. 100% of all of us have done that. But continue to. There are people who are Christians who have quit their job, they've gotten married, they have moved from, you know, one place to another, they have changed career paths. I mean, full-on, big, life-altering things without first consulting the Lord. And, I mean, buy cars. We bought a car that we didn't consult the Lord about. Earl bought a car because I actually heard from God, but I didn't say it out loud. But so we were in it together, babe. But at any rate, we bought a car that cost us thousands of dollars and a million headaches. Pretty close, it seemed like. I mean, we do this stuff all the time. We make life-altering decisions without consulting the wisdom of God, who is all-knowing. And yet we think, yeah, we got this. I mean, is that what we think? Are we that? I mean, I know that we've been there sometimes where I think, oh, this is good. This feels right. This must be what it's supposed to do. Otherwise, we had someone who told us they were moving, and they said, well, as soon as we were talking about moving, a realtor called us up and said they wanted to, you know, had someone interested to buy our house. So it must be God then. This must be. Well, they hadn't consulted God. They just, you know, took circumstances or situations and decided that that was what they were supposed to do. And guess what? It wasn't what they were supposed to do. And so what happened was they had a mess here and there along the way. Things started happening in their lives where they had messes. And the thing of it is that God can fix all of it. But let's just keep going. So I said all that. Oh, and you know, the thing is too, when you get into a place where you are not listening to God, then things happen. And I'm not saying this is the only time these things happen, so don't misunderstand. But you can get into a place where you're dealing with aggravation and frustration, but then stress comes in. When you are outside of the will of God, because we just made decisions without consulting him, and we're outside of the will of God, then what happens is stress comes on. Even if you don't even realize you're in stress. One time I was having all kinds of issues dealing with I couldn't breathe and I couldn't swallow anything. It felt like a heartburn or something, but it wasn't heartburn. It just felt like this big knot in my throat. And I went and had all these tests done, and the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. This is stress. And I didn't even know I was in stress at the time, but I was. And once I cleared up that stress, that pain, all those symptoms went away. But the thing is we can get to a place where we just get comfortable in those situations where we're dealing with symptoms and we just say, well, it'll be fine. And we just stay right where we're at, and we allow all of those things to just kind of eat at you. And the next thing you know, you're dealing with physical issues, you're dealing with depression and anxiety. I'm not saying that those things are exclusive to this, but they can bring these sorts of things on. And one of the things that God really showed me one time is he said that whenever your spirit is not, and it always is, unless we're listening and following, you know, and listening and heeding the voice of the Spirit, if our flesh is outside of the will of the Spirit, then it's like a battle, and it creates a battle within us. And so because your flesh is wanting to do one thing and your spirit is wanting to do another, you're a house undivided, or your house divided. You've got basically, you in your temple, you've got two different things warring against each other, and it will create physical ailments. And he showed me that, you know, and it wasn't because I was necessarily dealing with something, it was because someone else was dealing with something. And so as I was digging into it and looking into it, he started showing me that. And I thought, oh, I didn't even think of that. But I could see it in my own life at times where I was doing things that wasn't in the will of God, and then I started having physical issues as a result of it. Sometimes it's headaches, sometimes it's lack of sleep, sometimes it's, you know, all kinds of stomach aches and so forth. A friend of mine one time had a stomach ache for a while until she finally agreed to do what God was telling her to do. I mean, she thought she was going to throw up, but she didn't feel, I mean, it was like, you know how you just felt so nauseous that you wanted to, but you couldn't, and you didn't know what it was, and as soon as she made the decision to follow God, it all went away. And so, you know, someone else, if she hadn't made the decision right away, after a couple of days, she probably would have gone to the doctor, they'd have done all kinds of things, you know, because you people don't correlate those things necessarily to be, you know, to be together. The root of the issue isn't always there, because in the natural world, we think we need to go to the doctor. We think we need to figure this out. We think about the way the world answers those things instead of the way that we should answer those things, because we're not a part of this world. We live here, but we're different, and we have to start living differently than the world. And so the world isn't able to go to God and get wisdom like we are. But yet we find ourselves doing the same things the world does by not going to God. And we have this access. We have this free, open range where we can go to God and ask Him for anything. He has all the wisdom. He has it all, and He wants to share it. But instead, we start living like the world does and doing our own thing. And then the next thing you know, we have sickness like the world has. And we have depression like the world has. And we have anxiety like the world has. And we have other things like the world has. And yay for us. That's no place to be and to live and to stay. And, you know, we've been talking about School of the Spirit during this, you know, how to listen and heed. And the thing of it is that if you ask God for specifically for wisdom and He gives it to you, you hear that. You know that. When you wait at wisdom's doorway, don't make decisions until you've heard from God, until you've settled it with Him. Listen for His voice. You know His voice. I know you all know His voice. Just the same as I did when I heard Him tell me to clean those brushes. You know, it was just as plain as could be, and it was just that duh moment. That was something so small and so little. But the truth is that He talks to me the same way when it's a big thing. And He does the same thing for you. And so we have got to be in a place where we're hearing Him and listening to Him, and but more importantly, asking Him. So let's go to Proverbs 19:8. And actually, I'm just going to go through these because you can bring it up if you want. But Proverbs 19:8 says, to acquire wisdom is to love yourself, and that those who do prosper. I think sometimes it's okay to love yourself enough to go to God and ask for things. And I think we always think about loving others, because the Word talks to us about loving others, but we have to love ourselves too. We have to love ourselves enough to not go our own way, but go God's way. And when we do, we what? And that says, understand, he that keepeth understanding shall find good. Understanding is having that wisdom, that revelation. And so, but this is the NIV, I think, or maybe it's the NLT. It says, to acquire wisdom is to love yourself, and that those who do will prosper. I want to prosper. I want to love myself enough to go to the Lord and ask Him, so I don't have to have breakouts on my face or whatever else. I don't buy lemon cars that cost us thousands of dollars and millions of headaches. We don't want to go through that ever again, do we? No. He's rolling his eyes at me now. He's like, stop talking to me. No, I'm just kidding. Proverbs 8:11 says that wisdom is more valuable than anything that you can possibly desire, and nothing compares to it. Now, that's my authorized Jennifer Rice version. I put it down that way because pretty much is what it says, that wisdom is more valuable than rubies, I think is what it says. And anything that you desire cannot compare to it. There's nothing that you can desire that is better than wisdom, God's wisdom. You know, when we want our heart's desire, I want my heart's desire to be wisdom, godly wisdom. And when it is, then I'm going to be able to have so much more, because I'm going to make all the right decisions. I'm going to be on the right path, and God's going to be able to bless me in those places. Because I have news for you. We'll get there in a minute, but God doesn't bless our messes. He can't bless our messes. We'll go on in that in a minute. Proverbs 9:11 says that wisdom multiplies your days and adds years to your life. And when I thought about that, I thought about that sickness. You know, when we are doing what God wants us to do, when we're listening to His wisdom and following His wisdom, we're not going to have some of the ailments. I'm not trying to say that all sickness and disease comes from this sort of thing, but I'm saying that we're going to have a whole lot less stress in our lives. We're going to find ourselves in a whole lot bigger place of peace. And when we do, we can add years to our lives. That's just kind of a natural way of thinking of it. But He tells us that that wisdom multiplies our days and adds years to our lives. That's enough for me. Why not? You know, we want to live a long life and do it so in peace and health. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 6 says that wisdom will protect us. And that is something I have discovered. God's wisdom will never fail us. But when we are listening to God's wisdom, it will keep us from experiencing all kinds of things. And so that in and of itself is protection. And so I can think back to things, you know, decisions that I made, life-changing decisions that I made. I was married twice before in my own wisdom. That was fun. But I would have, if I had been listening to God both times, and followed His wisdom, I would have been protected from years of issues and physical ailments because of stress that I had, but also just heartache. You know, I mean, to have been protected from all of that if I had just listened to His wisdom. And we don't take that seriously enough. But it says that it is the best thing we can have. God's wisdom is like the best thing we can have from Him. That's His generous gift to us, is His wisdom. Our own wisdom will always, probably, unless we just happen to line up with God and His, lead us astray. And unless we're listening to Him and following Him, we're going to go down some pathways that's going to create massive issues in our lives that we can't in our own power undo. And then we have to rely on God to clean up a mess. And the downside of it is we don't sometimes just hurt ourselves in that. We hurt others. You know, there's scripture, and I don't have it written down, but there's scripture in Proverbs that talks about, or maybe it's Psalms. Proverbs, that talks about if you don't heed correction, it doesn't just affect you. It affects those. You take those with you who live among you with you in that place. Have you got it there? No? I'm misquoting it, of course, but the thing is that when we do heed correction and we do listen and go with the wisdom of God, then those around us go with us. They see that. They will do the same. They basically see from our experiences and will go and follow the same way. But by the same token, if you're not listening to God's wisdom and you're not heeding His correction, then you take those around you with you that way too. So you're not the only one affected by poor choices. We're not the only ones affected by not listening to God's wisdom. You know, I raised two teenage daughters, and I can tell, I say teenage like they weren't ever babies. I raised two girls, and they were with me 99% of their lives. You know, I mean, I was the example that led them. I led them poorly at times, very poorly at times. But the truth is that it's interesting because I talked about when I was married twice before, you know, they watched all that. One was their dad, and of course, one was the second marriage. And when I got divorced the second time, they asked me, you know, what happened. And I said, the thing of it is that I need you to see the right example of marriage before you. What you were seeing was not the right example of marriage. And it's important to me that you see the right example of marriage. And so that wasn't the only reason, of course, that we got divorced, but that's what I told them because it was partially true. What they were seeing was terrible, and it wasn't going to lead them properly. And so I had to, quote-unquote, fix that mess. And I remember the moment. I can clearly remember the moment because I know God hates divorce. But there was a moment where He said, and I heard Him, it's okay. And so I knew then that from that point on, I was going down God's pathway. And I wasn't trying to fix it myself anymore. And so as a result, they got that godly example of marriage. But I had to repent. I had to turn around. We'll talk about that. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Put Proverbs 10:17 up in Amplified, Caitlin, really quick, if you would. Okay, this is probably pretty close in the regular. He who learns from instruction and correction is on the right path of life, and for others, his example is a path toward wisdom and blessing. But he who ignores and refuses correction goes off course, and others, his example is a path towards sin and ruin. So basically, if you are not on the right course, then you are leading others by example towards the same ruin that you will experience. And that was something I did not want for my kids, you know, and so I had to make a change there. And the thing is that God is so good to not only fix that mess, but to deliver so much more to me after that. And so we'll go on, but let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to start in chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 1. And we're just going to read a little bit of section here. I'm just going to pull it. This is the NIV, but it'll probably be close enough. You can follow. What did I say, chapter 2? My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as if for silver and search for it as if for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. And he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the path straight to walk in dark ways, who delight in wrongdoing and rejoice in the perverseness of evil. So again, he talks about how wisdom, his wisdom, will protect us from all the wicked. But it just protects us from everything. I mean, he talks about how it'll guard our course and of the just and protect the ways of his faithful ones. And so it is so important that we get a hold of the fact that we have full 100% access to his wisdom so that we can walk this way, that we are protected, that if we turn our ear to wisdom and apply our heart to understanding and we call out for insight. When was the last time you called out for insight? I mean, just said, Lord, give me insight in this. I mean, I just don't think we do it enough. I mean, my life at times has been fruit of that I haven't called out for insight enough. And it goes on and it says, for the Lord gives wisdom and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You might get a little bit of worldly knowledge from other people, but you're not going to get godly wisdom and insight. You need to be going to him when you need. I know people go to other people for advice, and I understand that, and I mean, I have done it too. But the thing is that your first step should be to him. And if you're not hearing from him, go to your pastor. Because he hears from God on your behalf too. And he can provide clarification too. Or he might just confirm what you've already been hearing and you just weren't sure about that. Before you make big decisions and before you step, or even small decisions for that matter, I mean, you don't have to come to us for everything, but consult God before you go to other people and start asking them and following their advice. Because 9 times out of 10, they're going to give you worldly advice. But it's from God who gives wisdom, and it's from his mouth that comes knowledge and understanding. For he holds victory in store for the upright. It's him who provides these things. Let's skip while we're still right here. Proverbs chapter 3, just over on the page, it's just right over here for mine. I don't know if you have to turn a page or not, but just go to chapter 3, and let's go to verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Going to him and asking for wisdom means you have got to trust what he tells you to do. Because how often do you hear from him and you don't like the answer and you think, oh, I'll do it my way. And guess what? You got a mess. And the next thing you know, you're trying to climb out of that mess. And it tells us, let's go to James now. I started to go there. Let's go to James chapter 1. And you guys know this. This is familiar territory. James chapter 1, verse 5. And we're going to read down to verse 8. So 5 through 8. and this is in NIV, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Why bother to go to God and ask him for his wisdom and then turn around and decide to do it your own way or take the advice of someone else? It's the opposite of him. Because what happens when you do that, you're not going to receive from God, because you're going to be walking outside of his will and you're going to be doing it your own way. And the thing of it is that we tend to go to other people before we go to God in the first place. And we allow those voices to be louder than God's voices in us. And if we allow those voices to be louder than God's voice, we're not going to hear God, or we're going to ignore it. And so please go to the Lord first. And when you do, then he'll make your path straight when you listen to him. Because again, when we get into that place of a mess, the one thing I want is it all straightened out. You know, worse than anything, I want it straightened out. He's the one who's going to make the path straight, as he says there in verse 7. Or where is it? Whatever verse it was I read. Maybe it was back in Proverbs. It was, sorry. But we have got to get into a place where we're accepting only what he says over and above, and giving weight to his word before anything else or anybody else. And that will keep us on the straight and narrow. It means you're going to have to spend time in the word. It means that if he tells you something, you do it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Because the thing is you're never going to get out of your mess. Even if you repent, even if you say, Lord, I screwed up. I did all this wrong. We shouldn't have done this, or I shouldn't have done that. And now here we are. You know, we're X number of miles down the road, and we're knee-deep in debt on this car, or we're knee-deep in repair bills, or whatever the case. We're going to stay there unless we hear what he says and do what he says. If we don't do what he says, we're going to stay in our spot, and he can't bless us there. He cannot bless us in the mess that we have put ourselves in. You've seen the signs, those little, you know, cheeky signs or whatever they are that say, bless this mess. And God is about order, and he wants us to live according to his order. And we can't do that if we're sitting in our own pile of mess. We have got to climb out of that mess, and then he can bless us. And that was the way that, have you ever seen those TV shows where they have, like Law and Order, or some of those where they've had murder or whatever. And so then they call in the crime scene unit, and they go in and they do their thing. And then after they've done all that, then they call the crime scene cleaners. Have you ever seen that? There's like, what's that show we watch? Hawaii 5-0 has this guy who goes in and cleans up after the crimes, right? And they do it, they put it back to where you would never know there had been a crime there. You would never, there's no evidence left behind that anything was ever messed up. You would never know. Well, that's the way that God does, only he makes it better than it was before. That's the way that God does it. He doesn't just clean it up. He improves it. He makes it so much sweeter and so much better. It's as if it never happened and you went down his path. Because the whole point is to get yourself back on his path. And that's where the blessings are. That's where the sweetness is. That's where we can walk in all that he has promised us, all that he has told us we can have. We have got to be in his path. And that's where that blessing is. It's not sitting back there in the mess. It's not sitting back on the bloodstained carpet or whatever it is. That he can't bless. What he can do is pull you out of there and take you down the right path and make your path straight and bless you along the way. And that's what he did for me when I married those other guys. And then I found him. And the thing of it is that I didn't find him. He really found me. He followed me around all over a store one day. But anyway, now he's rolling his eyes. Now he's not shaking his head. I told him this morning, I said, when you hear me, what I'm getting ready to say, I said, you'll roll your eyes. He says, no, never mind. You won't roll your eyes because that's not what you do. You shake your head. That's what he was doing just now. Oh, I'm just kidding. He didn't. But, you know, the thing of it is that he gave me so much more and better than I ever imagined. And that's what he wants to do for all of us. He tells us he's going to bless us beyond our wildest dreams, beyond our wildest imaginations. And that doesn't seem possible when we're sitting in a mess. But all it takes is just listening to him. We have got to get out of the ruts that we're in. We've got to get out of listening to the world and staying in those places. We have got to start walking the way that he has given us access to walk, and in his wisdom, in the way that he tells us to. Don't make decisions based on feelings. Don't make decisions based on circumstances. Don't make decisions based on whether a realtor calls you up and says it's time to move. Don't do that. Listen to God, because when he tells you to move, everything falls into place. When he tells you to buy the car, everything falls into place. When he tells you to clean your makeup brushes, all the acne goes away. All that stuff. And I know that's small, but it was frustrating to me. I was really aggravated over it. But the thing was, is that in spite of the fact that I didn't go to him first, I still heard from him. And eventually we will, but by that time, look where we might end up. You know, we have spent money on changing our cleansers and done all that stuff when all I had to do was buy one bottle of cleaner. And that would have been it. I'm glad I didn't buy a new brush. It would have been really expensive. I just want you to walk in all that he has for you. And we've been talking about walking in the Spirit, and this is a huge part of that. That is where this begins, is asking God for his wisdom in things. And he's going to direct you to the Word, and he's going to direct you different ways. And sometimes it's just a voice that you're going to hear, and other times you're going to be reading the Word, and it's going to pop out at you, and you're going to think, oh, duh. Because, you know, that's how he reveals things. Or it could come from the pulpit. It could come from right here. It could be coming from me right now. I don't know. All I'm telling you is that he is always going to give you the answer, whether it's through your pastor, whether it's through, you know, your TV screen. It's probably not, but maybe. If it's through your, you know, your the Word and your time with the Lord in prayer or in the Word of God, whenever it is, he's always going to give it. He's always been faithful to do that. He's never going to leave you hanging. If you haven't heard, then don't do it yet. Don't make that decision yet. You know, when I left my job, I told the Lord ahead of time, I need you to tell me when it's time to go, because I love my job so much that I'm not going to want to go. And truthfully, the paycheck was sweet, right? And so I didn't want to give that up either. And so about a year before it was time to go, he started talking to me, and he started telling me, you're getting into that season. You're getting close. Start preparing. And so then, okay, good. He didn't tell me what I was going to be doing necessarily. He just told me that was going to be coming. And then about 3 or 4 months, you know, went by, and he did it again. He said, well, we're getting closer. We're really close now. And so now I knew we were really entering that time and that season. And he started sharing with me some things. And when he started sharing those things with me, I got excited about it. Instead of being upset about leaving the job that I loved, I was getting excited about what he was going to do from that point on. Well, then he finally got to that point where he says, guess what? You can pick a date. It's time to pick a date. And so that, if I had not have asked him or, you know, told him to start sharing that with me ahead of time, I would have been taken off guard when he said, okay, you got to leave your job. And I wouldn't have had any forward knowledge of that. You know, I mean, he talks to us of what he will answer us when we ask him for things. He always does. And until he would have told me that, I wouldn't have done it. I would have stayed right where I was until he told me point blank to go. But then I might have been hesitant and not wanting to, because I needed that time. He knew I needed that time. But I mean, I asked him for that. And when he did, he gave it to me. And just like that, he will do it for you too. And the thing is that that's how we are supposed to be. The world doesn't have access to that, but we do. And our lives need to demonstrate that. And if they don't, then we're living wrong. We're outside of the means that he's provided, and there's no reason to live there.
Can't believe she didn't go to one of her favorite verses. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Doesn't say he'll bless you anywhere other than the place he wants you to be. So the blessing is in the obeying. When we obey, you know, when we hear him, well, you need to be obedient unto him, but you need to be listening. You need to be praying. You need to be seeking him. And then when he tells you you need to obey. And, you know, he's too many people, and there are tons of people that make moves. They will move out of state. They will move, you know, they'll quit their job. They'll make a complete change in everything. And they don't seek God about it. You know, it's all circumstance-based. And honestly, there's New Testament and there's Old Testament. They did things under the Old Testament because it was Old Testament. One of those is they put a fleece out, and that's Gideon. We don't do that. In the New Testament, we are to do things differently. In the New Testament, we are to be led internally. You know, God said in Jeremiah 31 that he was going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and he was going to do things differently. He said, I'm in the new covenant, I'm not going to lead you externally. He said, it's not going to be like when I took the children of Israel by the hand and led them, you know. And how did he lead them? He led them externally by a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. He led them externally. But he said, I'm going to lead you internally. I'm going to put my law and my word in your heart and your mind. Well, he's actually going to put his spirit within us. And so he says, in the new covenant, you're going to learn to be led internally, not externally. So when people put out a fleece, well, God, if you want me to do this, then cause this to happen. That's unbiblical. That's Old Testament. They are looking for an external leading when God said, I don't lead you that way. So they are looking for an external leading, and God will lead them internally. And what they're doing is they're vocalizing something. Well, when you vocalize something, the devil also hears it. And a whole lot of people have been led by external circumstances. Well, it looks good. Well, it feels good. Well, God caused this to happen. Did you check on the inside? Are you sure that that's what God wanted you to do? God will bless you in the land he's called you to. He's not going to bless you in Egypt if he called you to Israel. So we need to make sure that where he's, you know, leading us, we are obedient to that. And all of that comes back to the wisdom of God. You know, he'll tell us. But we don't want to step outside of that because we're led externally. We're not led externally, we're led internally. And that means that we learn to, again, hear from the Holy Spirit. We can't ever get away from that.